Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, October 12th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Environment Minister Opa Muchinguri Kashiri says Zimbabwe will not press charges against American dentist Walter Palmer for the death of Cecil the Lion, but conservationists say Harare should show the country the evidence.
I'm quite shocked to actually hear that. I mean, he broke the law. He lured a lion out of the park. There was no quota for the area. And now all of a sudden, they're not prosecuting him.
Independent journalists in Zimbabwe say they feel threatened following weekend statements by President Mugabe's spokesman and Information Secretary George Charamba, showing he intends to tighten media laws to muzzle the media for allegedly writing lies.
I think this is very worrying coming from a senior civil servant like Charamba. He's basically accusing journalists of doing their job. They can't expect journalists to just report without questioning what government does or what other opposition parties do.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai comes under a barrage of criticism for boycotting the burial of party deputy organizing secretary and Kolomani MP Tamsanqa Mahlangu.
And factionalism continues to ravage ZANU-PF, with allies of Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa pushing back against the youthful G40 in the battle to succeed and edging Mr. Mugabe.
These G40 individuals, they are not presidential material in any way. They have got no basis to want to succeed the president. They have got no liberation war history. They are just overzealous.
These and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Environment Minister Opa Muchinguri Kashiri says Zimbabwe will not file charges against the U.S. dentist who killed the country's famed lion Cecil. Muchinguri backtracked on her comments a few months ago, saying Harare would seek Palmer's extradition to charge him for the hunt Harare said was illegal. Today, she told a Bloomberg news agency that Palmer's papers were in order, hence Zimbabwe will no longer seek his extradition. Palmer admitted killing the rare prized black maimed lion with a bow and arrow on July 1 near Zimbabwe's Wange National Park, but said he believed the hunt was legal.
A Zimbabwean hunter Theodore Bronkhorst has been charged in connection with the hunt. Studio 7 reached Environment Ministry Permanent Secretary Prince Mupazwiriwo, but he referred all questions to Muchinguri, who was said to be in a crucial meeting. Palmer's lawyer, Givemomu Viringi, also declined to comment, saying he was yet to see the minister's statement.
But Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force Director Johnny Rodriguez says if it is true that the minister said Palmer has no case to answer, then the government must prove to the nation that the professional hunter's papers were truly in order.
I'm quite shocked to actually hear that when they come all of a sudden. I mean, he broke the law. He lured a lion out of the park. There was no quota for the area. And now all of a sudden, they're not prosecuting him. I mean, I believe there's something wrong with the justice system. Because, in the first place, when they did the investigation and everything, they found there was a problem. Now, all of a sudden, they're saying, no, he didn't commit a crime or he had his papers in order. I find it very, very strange. It just means that the legal system in Zimbabwe doesn't work. The thing is, the whole world is watching, and all it sends is a wrong signal out to the other wealthy people that can actually break the law and get away with it.
Two local hunters are still facing charges for assisting Palmer in the killing of Cecil the Lion. Do you think that they will also be cleared?
I think there's money talking here. I don't think anything else. It's just greed and corruption and overlooking the story. You know, we should they should appoint a private investigator to actually investigate this whole story and find out if these are the facts. I mean, nothing has been published. We haven't seen any documents. We haven't seen the permits and all that. So it's really hard to comment on that when, you know, nothing has been put into the public domain, which the public deserves to know.
That was Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force Director Johnny Rodriguez in Harare with reporter Jonga Kanzemiri.
Independent journalists in Zimbabwe say they feel they are under siege following weekend statements by President Mugabe's spokesman and Information Secretary George Charamba threatening to muzzle the media for allegedly writing lies. Charamba's comments come barely a month after Mr. Mugabe also threatened to tighten the country's media laws, saying the standard of journalism has deteriorated in the country, raising the need for the government to take measures. The threats have irked the independent media, with Mr. Zimbabwe issuing a strongly worded response against Charamba's statement and intentions. Mr. Zimbabwe dismissed Charamba's remarks as, quote, ill-advised and smacking of intentions to stall and scuttle the outstanding alignment of the country's media laws with the constitutional provisions that explicitly guarantee media freedom. In another report, Mr. Zimbabwe accused Charamba of attempting to embargo the report of the findings of the Information and Media Panel of Inquiry, IMPI. The IMPI finished its work some 7 months ago, but the report has not yet been published. An independent journalist, Kolwani Nyati, says Charamba's threats were worrying.
Very worrying coming from a senior civil servant like Charamba. He's basically accusing journalists of doing their job. They can't expect journalists to just report without questioning what government does or what other opposition parties do. This is the intention of the opposition, that is the NDC, as it puts it, to turn up with government to victimize journalists. That would be very unfortunate. I think we should take the statements very seriously, because once they say such things, usually what follows is not very good for the journalism profession.
But Mr. Nyati, there have been complaints from the MDC as well about the conduct of the media, singling out Newsday. What's your comment on that?
I think there are proper ways to address such concerns. If the political parties have concerns about the way journalists conduct themselves, the Voluntary Media Council, which can afford them the platform to air their concerns, and through conciliation, those concerns can be addressed. Rather than threatening journalists.
And that was independent journalist Kolwani Nyati. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
Zimbabwean academics are mourning prominent National University of Science and Technology lecturer Layton Hikwast, who died of respiratory complications in Bulawayo yesterday. Mr. Hikwa asked his friends to pray for him last Thursday, writing on Facebook, "I am not well at all. Please remember me in your prayers." He passed away yesterday morning in hospital. He is survived by his wife and 3 daughters. Mourners are gathered at number 6 Ivegil Road in Morningside. NAST Director of Communications and Marketing, Felix Moyo, tells reporter Ntungamili Nkomo they have lost a dedicated lecturer who put his job above all else.
As a NAST community, we are devastated. We have lost a key member of our senior management, an experienced academic, a person who took his work seriously. Because not only did he love his work, he also believed in the young men that he was training.
What kind of a person was he? What was his personality like?
He was a likable character, a very frank person who mixed well his work with humor, a conscientious worker who always met deadlines. As senior management, we do give our section leaders a lot of deadlines, and he met all the deadlines, and his work was meticulous and accurate.
And are there any burial arrangements yet?
Yes, the service is going to be on Wednesday, the day after tomorrow. There will be a funeral service.
And how about the burial?
The family tells us that he's not really going to be buried, but he'll be cremated. And that is now between the family and the crematorium or the undertaker. But for us, what is important for us is that we'll have a farewell service for him on Wednesday.
NAST Director of Communications and Marketing Felix Moyo on the line with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo from Bulawayo.
Elsewhere, MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai and his party leadership have come under a barrage of criticism for boycotting the burial of party deputy organizing secretary and Nkulumane MP Thamsanqa Mahlangu. Mahlangu was buried in Bulawayo Saturday amid chaos as rival families brawled over his interment. MDCT officials who refused to go on record for fear of victimization criticized the party leadership for betraying a comrade they say dedicated his life to the party. Although Mr. Tsvangirai was in the second city, he did not attend the burial fearing being caught up in the family violence. Only a few party members, including Gwadzana MP Nelson Chamisa, attended. Despite the criticism, MDCT Organizing Secretary Abednego Bebe is pushing back.
Well, criticism is always going to be there for those that do not understand what transpired or what was happening concerning the funeral of Mahlangu. All that I can say is there were differences that maybe could not be solved between the families. Mahlangu was born out of a family of the Mahlangus, the Sangos, and the step family, which is Mgowe. So these three families were not agreeing on how Mahlangu's funeral procession is going to take place, and who should take custody of Mahlangu's burial, as they say. So as a result of that, the party decided that we cannot be adjudicators or we cannot participate in a funeral where there is serious fights which are taboo in our own culture as Africans. So we then decided to say, if that's the case, then we will let the families do whatever they think is best for them, and we will not be part of a funeral that is disputed, that is not agreed upon, that is got some push and shove, and most probably near violence.
Some are asking that if ever there was any danger posed, how come MDC officials like Nelson Chamisa attended and nothing happened to them?
Well, I'm talking about African taboo here. When it's up to him, Chamisa, I cannot speak on behalf of Chamisa, because if he went there, he went as an individual. Whatever participation that he did, he participated as an individual. So therefore, if he participated as an individual, he is not a political party. But we took a position as a political party that this funeral that is taking place is not normal. According to African culture, it's taboo. Therefore, we cannot be part and parcel of a funeral procession that is not agreed in all the parents.
That was MDCT Organizing Secretary Abednego Bebe on the line with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo from Bulawayo.
Factionalism continues to ravage the ruling ZANU-PF party, with allies of Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa dismissing as wishful thinking moves by a group calling itself the Generation 40 or G40 to sideline him in the battle to succeed 91-year-old President Robert Mugabe. Brickbats are being thrown all over the place, with an aging Mugabe apparently now failing to control the warring factions. Some observers believe that members of the armed forces may end up intervening to end the crisis in the party, as what happened during the liberation struggle of the 1970s, when Goliro stopped ZANU-PF factionalism after the assassination of ZANU-PF leader Herbert Chitepo by imprisoning top officials in Zambia and the then Rhodesia. VOA's Gibbs Dube has more details.
It is clear that all is not well in the ruling party, with factions trying to outpace each other in putting their own people in a strong position to succeed the aging President Robert Mugabe, who has ruled Zimbabwe for more than 35 years. Mnangagwa's supporters believe that he is still President Robert Mugabe's favorite, despite being sidelined by the G40, comprising Young Turks, who are pushing Mrs. Grace Mugabe to the hot presidential post. One of Mnangagwa's strong allies is Mashonaland East Provincial Executive Member Energy Mudodi.
There is a speculation that this grouping calling itself G40 would like to stand in the way of Comrade Mnangagwa. But now you come to realize that these G40 individuals, they are not presidential material in any way.
The controversial Mutodi says the group is literally dancing out of tune in the party.
Jonathan Moyo, the professor, our learned professor, he cannot lead any faction himself. He can only be a member of a faction. You go to Xavier Kasukwere, he's just a PC of the party who has been appointed by the president to preside over structures of the party. So looking at themselves, they have got no basis to want to succeed the president. They are nobody. They have got no liberation war history, you see. They are just overzealous. They want to be everywhere all the time.
His favorite is Mnangagwa, who has held several cabinet posts since independence from British rule in 1980.
If you look at Comrade Mnangagwa, he has been with the president for the past 52 years. He has seen everything, all the challenges in the party, in its formative stages, in the war, in the post-independence era. He has seen everything, and he has got all the experience. He has been loyal to the president.
Despite his support for the vice president, he believes that the party's constitution needs to be followed when President Robert Mugabe leaves office. Observers say there is a likelihood that securocrats may end up intervening to stop the squabbles, a situation which may be similar to what ZANU's armed wing, the Zimbabwe National Liberation Army, or ZANLA, did when it crafted the famous Mukakao Declaration. When Chitepo was assassinated in Zambia, some top ZANU leaders and ZANLA commanders were locked up, resulting in serious conflicts which escalated until the freedom fighters came out with the Mukakao Declaration in Tanzania, in which they sidelined Ndabaningi's Tole, then ZANU leader, who had formed his own military high command known as the Zimbabwe Liberation Council. The 1975 Mukakao Declaration unequivocally rejected Tole as the leader of ZANU and ZANLA. According to political analyst Professor Sabalo Kacheni Ndlovu of the University of South Africa, the same may happen if factionalism continues, as members of the armed forces, also said to be aligned to factions, decide to intervene.
From a liberation war tradition, what happened is that it's not civilians only who are going to jostle for this position. They will actually divide the military as well. And when that happens, then it means we are actually going to face a situation of an intra-state institutional violence in which even the army might actually be broken into fragments according to generations and also according to loyalties to the faction.
Such a situation, says Professor Ndlovu, will plunge Zimbabwe into a crisis.
Obviously, we are heading for a disaster because with the people who have the monopoly of violence actually participating in this, it will take us back to perhaps the Mugabe period. And who decided to actually put the current president? It was actually the military people through the Mugabe Declaration. So we might actually be looking to another Mugabe Declaration whereby the military will actually intervene and they say we are bringing order by putting this one in power.
Some members of the G40, who allegedly include Kasukwere, Professor Jonathan Moyo, business tycoon Philip Chiangwa, Patrick Juao, and several others, were not reachable for comment as they were said to be attending various meetings. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Gibbs Dube.
Coming up,
mental health patients not being given enough assistance.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Opposition candidates are calling for Guinea's presidential election to be annulled, saying the vote yesterday was rigged to favor the incumbent leader.
Palestinian youths escalated the pace of stabbing attacks today in the Jerusalem area, and Israeli police shot dead two of the alleged assailants as the worst spell of street violence in years showed little sign of slowing.
And Uganda said it is pulling its soldiers out of South Sudan, where they have supported President Salva Kiir in the country's civil war.
Despite the critical shortage of nurses and midwives in government hospitals, the cash-strapped Harare government is maintaining its freeze on recruiting new staff, worsening the problems being experienced in the country's health delivery sector. Correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
This is the joyful singing of some nurses and midwives who recently graduated from Pillow Hospital in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe's second capital. The three-year course for general nurses and the one-year program for midwives are reputed to be very demanding, and so it is not surprising that the graduates are on cloud nine after years of hard work. But their joy is short-lived as they quickly come to terms with the reality on the ground. Studio 7 caught up with Patience Mube, who was among the recent graduates. Patients received several prizes, including that of best academic performance throughout training, and therefore was extremely happy.
First, I'm happy that I finally managed to get the diploma. That was my main aim. And then getting the prizes, that was beyond my expectations. I didn't expect this. It came as a surprise to me. My aim was to get the diploma, but now I'm overexcited that at least I managed to excel.
Despite her accomplishment, Mube is among several from a class of just over 100 graduates who are yet to get employed. Although the country's health delivery service is burdened by a shortage of manpower, among other problems, there is a freeze on recruitment of more staff due to unavailability of funds stemming from an economic crisis that has seen government struggling to pay its workers. Mube told Studio 7 about her frustration and anxiety over the uncertainty of her career.
You know, it's not easy to go through 3 years training. It's a hard work. It's not easy. It's having sleepless nights. And then after finishing that, you can't be employed. You're staying at home like you did nothing. And then we don't know when we'll be employed. Maybe after 2 years or so. It's demoralizing, if I can say.
Deputy Health Minister Aldrin Msiwa says his ministry is aware of the problems in the country's health sector, including the freeze on recruitment. He says the ministry has approached government to avail more funds so more staff can be recruited. Paul Dube also graduated recently and is also still unemployed. He, however, remains hopeful that he will get a job soon.
We hope, as the minister said, the government is working on that. So we are going to be employed very soon. So we are just hoping for more of the sentiments echoed by the minister that it's going to be fine.
Besides being largely seen as bloated, Zimbabwe's civil service also has a problem of so-called ghost workers, people who are on government payroll but do not really do any work. Government is currently carrying out an audit in the education sector as a way of dealing with this problem. But a nurse who refused to speak on tape, as he is not allowed to speak to the press, said government can employ more people in the essential services like health and education if it gets its priorities right and cuts unnecessary spending. As part of trying to deal with the problem of failing to recruit more nurses and other workers, government has mooted the idea of exporting some of its graduates to other countries. While agreeing that it could help create employment and also earn the country some revenue through remittances by those who will have become expatriates, researcher Butler Tambo of the Public Policy Research Institute of Zimbabwe says the proposal is not sustainable. He suggests that government should recruit more healthcare personnel through reducing workers in other government departments that are less critical.
Exporting these people who already are in their low numbers is not a good move as far as I'm concerned. The question is, what about the cost that the country would have incurred in training these nurses? Because to me, it doesn't make sense. That means we are losing out more money by training people that we are not going to be able to retain within our healthcare system. On how we can solve this problem. For instance, we have been recruiting more and more police officers, more and more prison service guards and the like. Do we really need so many police officers? My answer is a clear no, because I am not seeing an increase in the crime rate in Zimbabwe to justify more manpower in this particular area.
until Harare deals effectively with the current economic crisis and boosts revenue levels, nursing graduates like Ngube and Dube will remain unemployed despite the need for such people in the health sector. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shawa.
Health experts are calling on the government to put more resources into dealing with mental illnesses such as anxiety, depression and loneliness, as it does with physical ailments. Reports indicate hundreds of Zimbabweans who suffer from mental health illnesses are not accessing the assistance they need. This as the world at the weekend marked World Mental Illness Day. We spoke with mental health expert Dr. Sekai Niwatiwa earlier on the issue.
We have what we call conduct disorders. We've got ADHD, we've got autism, we've got conduct disorders, also have adjustment disorders, and then we are seeing more and more substance abuse in children, and also children who are abused either sexually or physically, or who are neglected can end up with mental health issues.
What about in adults? Which are the most common mental health issues that you are seeing?
In adults, the whole spectrum can get usually depression and suicide, conditions like schizophrenia, bipolar affective disorder, disorders related to childbirth like postpartum psychosis and depression, substance abuse. Organic conditions are very common now, with HIV being very prevalent, and also other organic conditions like dementia. They're not very common now, but you are beginning to see a crop of elderly people who have dementia right now, or a form of mentally deterioration of higher faculty.
What are some of the contributing factors to some of the mental health issues that we're seeing?
Because for mental health issues are usually multifactorial, but currently, because of the harsh economic situation we're facing, people are losing their jobs willy-nilly. There are no new jobs available. Students who finish university, who finish even nursing teacher training, there are no jobs for them to do. So that bears very heavily on mental health issues.
That was mental health expert Dr. Sekai Niwatiwa speaking with us from Harare.
This week on Thursday, the world will mark International Rural Women's Day. And Studio 7 wants to hear from you. Where in rural Zimbabwe do you live? Call us and let us help you share your story of life in rural Zimbabwe. Do you have WhatsApp? Send us your voice message so we can play it on radio, or text us your number so we can call you back. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. 001-202-465-0318. Studio 7, your choice for balanced news.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions about mental health issues.
To join our discussion, text us on 001-202-465-0318 and we'll call you right back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai comes under a barrage of criticism for boycotting the burial of party deputy, organizing secretary and Kulumani MP Tamsanqa Mahlangu.
Environment Minister Opam Chinguri Kashiri says Zimbabwe will not press charges against American dentist Walter Palmer for the death of Cecil the Lion.
That's our broadcast this evening. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.